When your Bibles turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. A lot of people out there looking to fill the void in their life, and Jesus is the answer. Absolutely the answer. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll be looking at verse 11. It is good to see many visitors here. We thank you for being here. Had a good week, I hope, and ready to go today. Appreciate those who prayed for me. Glad to be back. This morning I'd like to talk to you about fighting the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus, Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the time we have to come and just read your word and gather around it, Lord, and we just ask this morning you would lead and direct. We ask, Lord, for your power from on high. We pray this morning you help us as we fight the good fight of faith. Help us to follow after these things that you've listed here. Lord, we look forward to your return, looking forward to that blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen. If you read the previous verses, in verses 1 through 10, you find that Paul was addressing to Timothy the relationship between a master and servant, or for us that would be between employee and employer, and he just goes down through there and says, hey, that an employee ought to be subject to his employer, and the employer ought to be nice. Amen. And both ways there. And he goes on to say in verse 6, look with me there, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amen? Paul said in another place, he said, that whatever state I am, therewith to be content. He was content where God put him. And some of us just need to be content where God has put us. And again, you brought nothing to the world, you can't take nothing out. There's no hearse behind the, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse, right? You're not going to take your stuff with you. Verse 8 says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, withdraw men to destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So Paul just says, hey, okay, now look at verse 11. But thou, so he's making a distinction between Timothy, he's saying, but thou, you do the opposite. Don't be like the servant and the who will not be subject to his master, and then be prideful in those areas. You can go through and read those first verses. It talks about them being prideful. He says, hey, be content where God has put you. Don't love money. Again, money has its place, but don't love money. You can't take it with you. You can't take stuff with you. You can't take the big house with you. You can't take the new car with you. You can't take nothing. I mean, be content where God puts you. The love of money is the root of all evil. And I tell you, there are people today who that is their number one ambition, is just to get more stuff. Right? Let's work the extra 8 hours so I can have more stuff. And I'm telling you right now, those of you who may put yourself in that category, who may think yourself in that category of providing, well, I can work another 8 hours and do more for my children or whatever. I'm saying in many cases, that extra 8 hours, your kids would rather have playing with you than you working and earning that extra money. I'm telling you now, love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. And your time is much more precious with your kids than anything that you can, above the, food and shelter that you can give your kids. They would love to have your time. The love of money, that's why I could preach on it all day long. I could say, you know, if you're seeking the money, then here's the other things that are suffering because of it. Money is simply a tool that we use to provide for our families. Right? Money is simply a tool that we use to supply for the things of the Lord and missionaries and so forth. And we need to see it as such. Be content where God has put you. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't work. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't work hard and provide for our families. And as God leads, it doesn't mean you can't strive to do better in your workforce and in your job and in your education. But there comes a point where money becomes becomes a god, and the love of it will ruin your life. It will pierce you through and create much sorrow, is what verse 10 says. But he says to Timothy, but thou, again, you don't follow after those things, pride and money. But thou, unlike the men described in the previous verses who are driven by pride and love and money, the love of money, Paul admonishes Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. To fight the good fight of faith. He admonishes him to follow after some things. Let me tell you, Christian, there's some things that we ought to follow after in this fight, the good fight of faith. I want to just again remind you that Paul uses many analogies to illustrate for us the Christian life. He uses a race, that we're in a race, and he uses that we're in a fight. We're in a battle. And I want you to know this morning, and I don't have to really tell you, but we are in a battle. If you haven't noticed, we're in a battle between us and the world, between us and our flesh, between us and Satan. And I'm telling you, the battle's raging more today than I believe it's ever raged. Maybe since the time of the flood. The battle is raging. We're in a fight. And he admonishes Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. If we're to fight the good fight of faith, we must flee. We must flee. Look down there with me. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. There are some things we need to run away from. There's a time to fight. There's a time to fight. There's a time to flee. Nehemiah, in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, verse 11, Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee? When he was tempted of Sanballat and Tobiah to come down off the wall, and because they threatened to come in and stop the work, they threatened to come in and kill those who were working on the walls of Jerusalem, there in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah told those adversaries, he told the enemy, he said, should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I quit? No! And he told his soldiers, he told his workers, grab your sword and grab your trowel. Put a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. Work on the wall with one hand and fight with the other. There was no backing up. But there is a time to flee. There is a time to flee. In Genesis 39, verse 12, Joseph fled when he was tempted of Potiphar's wife. Joseph, that man of God, a man who had been sold into slavery by his brothers, a man who is bought by Potiphar, and then God blessed him in Potiphar's house, and he became so much in charge of Potiphar's house that Potiphar didn't even know how much money he had in the bank, didn't know how much food was going to be on the table, but Potiphar's wife got winking at Joseph, got her eye on Joseph. The Bible says she talked to him every day. She enticed him every day. And he refused. He refused. One day he was in there, and he refused once again, but she grabbed a hold of his coat. And he fled, but he left his coat. Shouldn't have left his coat. No. Left his coat there. But he fled. He fled the temptation. The Bible says, flee also youthful lust. I touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Against the world we use what? Against the world with the three F's. Come on, guys. I mean, it was like two Sundays ago. Against the world we use faith. The Bible says, faith overcometh the world. I'm telling you, if you are going to fight the good fight of faith, you must have faith. Faith overcometh the world. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the things of God. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that He will see you through. Faith is believing. Trusting. Trusting in Him and Him alone. You have trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord always. And again I say, trust in the Lord and rejoice. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Faith overcometh the world. The world entices you, kids. When the world entices you, adults, have faith in the Lord. He will strengthen you. Against the world and its enticements, we use faith. Against Satan, we do what? We fight. Put your dukes up. That's close. You're getting there. It just takes a little while. This outline's real complicated. Against the world, we use what? Faith. Against the world, we use what? All right, the crowd's going. Against the devil, we use fight. When Jesus was tempted of Satan, what did he do? Did he back away? Did he run? In Matthew chapter 4, and then when he was tempted there in the wilderness, no, he used the Word of God. And he fought. He fought against Satan. Fight the good fight of faith. When Satan tempts you and you realize that it's him, the Bible says to quote a scripture. You ought to have a few scriptures quoted, right? Memorized that you can quote. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There ought to be a couple of verses that you can quote to old Satan and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? Get away from me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And it's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to give in to temptation. Right? Right? Amen. I'll give an example in the next one that I've given before. Against the flesh, we use what? Flight. Flee also youthful lust. Get out of there. Now you remember I taught this a couple weeks ago because I got onto the kids, right? I'm sorry, the youth. Utes. Right? Flee. When you've been in a position where you are tempted or whatever it is and your old flesh craves something, get out of there. Flee it. Remove yourself from it. Make no provision for the flesh. Get out of there. I've told this story before, but it's pretty funny. Where we lived out in the country, and we were just discussing this last night, me and my wife, we lived out in the country, but on our dirt road, there was about 10 houses, and we lived in like maybe a half acre or three-quarter acre lot. But right behind us was a big peach farm, and we lived about 3 miles out in the country. But there was a lady across the street who enjoyed sunbathing. By the way, she could have done that in her backyard. But instead, right out in the front yard. I mean, just right out there. And so one day me and my dad pulled out, I don't remember where we were going, pulled out in this truck and started heading down that way, you know, and both of us. And I'll never forget what my dad said. He says, it's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to give in to temptation. He says, it's not wrong to look. It's wrong to drive around the block the second time. Gets a laugh every time, doesn't it? But that's something I'll never forget. My dad said, you know, and it is true. I mean, being tempted is not wrong. It's when we dwell on that. It's when we allow that thought or whatever it may be to fester and to fester in sin. When we are in a situation where we put ourselves or we are there by accident and our old flesh is tempted to do something, it craves something, then we should get out of there. We should remove ourselves from the situation. And I just encourage you, teenagers or adults, boy, when you get in that situation, flee it. Flee it. And then don't put yourself in that situation. Make no provision for the flesh. If you know you're weak in an area, then don't make provision for it. If TV's a problem and you know it is, then make no provision for it, right? If eating is a problem, don't make provision for it, right? I mean, there's areas, and I'm being kind of silly, but absolutely there's areas. The Bible says there are areas that beset us, those sins that so easily beset us. I'm telling you this morning, I don't care who you are, every person in this room has a besetting sin. It may be something simply the flesh craves. It may be something that Satan tempts you at. It may be something the world offers you. But you have one. And most of you by this time know what it is. Whatever it is, don't make provision for it. And don't put yourself in that position. Fight the good fight of faith. You say, preacher, it's got a hold of me for the 10,000th time. Well, Lord will forgive you again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I notice there in 1 John 1:9 it doesn't say, okay, if you do it 35 times, I'm done. That's the way we are as parents, isn't it? Oh yeah, you get 3 chances and then you're out. But the Lord, it's not that way. Flee also youthful lust. Run from it. And basically the context here is run away from that love of money. Run away from that a tendency of pride. Run away from these things, Timothy. Don't get involved in these things. Boy, those are two areas in which all of us have that tendency. Money and pride. Where should we run to? We should run to Jesus. We should run to Jesus. I don't think Jesus had the love of money as a problem. Do you? Or pride. Let's run to Him. Our goal as Christians is to be Christ-like. Let's flee to Jesus. Flee to Jesus. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Number two, we see He says something else. He says, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow. This word follow means to pursue after. Means aiming at until the goal is reached. It means to pursue. So this following is not like you follow a car. This following means to pursue after until you have reached the goal, whatever it may be. Whether it's raising children, pursuing after, following after the things in your life that God has directed you towards, but pursue them. Get at it. Go after it. Pursue it. Follow after these things. What does it say? Follow after these things. What are these things here? Well, these are all attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice He says, follow after righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness simply means right living. It means, this here means integrity towards men. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good. Went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. Jesus always did what was right. Amen? Jesus always displayed righteousness, godly attributes. In other words, He says, follow after righteousness. Follow after right living. Follow after right living. Always do right. It's never wrong to do right. Always do right. Always. If you are to fight the good fight of faith, you must follow after righteousness. Do you desire to live a righteous life? As a Christian, that new nature that's been given to you instills within you a want to live right. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, when you accept Christ as Savior, there's a want to live right. And you may not always do it, but there's a want to do it. It's a totally different attitude when it comes to being a child of the King, of being a child of God, right? Amen? Always a different attitude. Live right. Follow after righteousness. Follow after living right. Follow after godliness. So if righteousness is integrity before men, godliness is integrity before God. John 8:29, the Bible says that Jesus, He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Godliness is simply pleasing the Lord, pleasing Him with our lives. Faith, follow after godliness, follow after faith. Faith, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith in what? Faith. Faith in God, as I've already pointed out earlier. Faith in the Lord, trusting Him. Trusting Him, living according to His plan. See, following after faith, and this faith in God is understanding and knowing that I'll follow God's plan before I follow man's plan. I'll follow God's plan in rearing children before I follow some psychologist's mumbo-jumbo out of a book. Amen? See, and, groundings and things has their place, and I don't have time to go into and discipline and the whole thing about disciplining children, but the Bible says, basically, spare the rod, spoil the child. In fact, it goes on to even say that if you spare the rod, that you hate your child. That's what the Bible says. Will we follow the Bible, or do we follow some psychologist who got their degree from some liberal institute? Right? I'm not saying psychologists and things don't have some good things to say from time to time. But I'm going to follow God's plan. Amen? I'm going to follow God's plan when it comes to my life. When it comes to finances, I'm going to follow God's plan. Amen? When it comes to whatever, I'm going to follow God. I have faith in God that if I follow His plan, that I will be better off because He always has my best interest in mind. Follow Him. Follow the Lord. Follow after faith. Live according to the Word of God. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Of course, I've preached on this 100 times, but love simply means selflessness. Follow after selflessness, to sacrifice for others. To sacrifice for others. I, in my own life, should practice a willingness to sacrifice for those around me. A willingness to sacrifice for those whom I do not know. A willingness to sacrifice for my kids and for my wife. To sacrifice for others. Sacrifice for others. That's true love. True love. Love is measured by the sacrifice one makes for another person. That's love. Selflessness. To give and not to gain should be our motto. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Patience basically means endurance. It means sticking to it when it gets tough. The Bible says in this world you shall have tribulation. Times are going to be tough from time to time. And patience is merely that endurance and that stick-to-itness that we all need to go through whatever the Lord sends our directions. When times get tough, the tough get going, it's a courage in the face of danger. Courage in the face of opposition. Courage in the face of tribulation. Patience. Boy, we could spend a lot of time there. Last one here is meekness. Meekness. Meekness simply means power under control. Power under control. Meekness simply means a person who is strong and yet has the ability to control himself or herself. It means someone who has a strong state of mind, but is again able to control themselves. It means somebody who has a humble state of mind. Right? These are all characteristics of Christ. For instance, you believe Christ was humble? Absolutely. But was He strong? Absolutely. So meekness and being strong can go together. Meekness basically means somebody who is gentle. Gentle. It means, again, that strong but under control. Jesus Christ had the ability to go into the temple and turn over the money changers' tables. Right? Yet He was meek. There is a verse that says, be angry and sin not. There is a time to get angry about some things. It's time to get angry about sin and immorality and these issues. And yet, be meek and strong and self-controlled. Controlling oneself. Power under control. These are things we should seek after in this good fight of faith. Follow after righteousness or right living. Follow after godliness, doing always those things that please the Father. Follow after faith, relying upon the Word of God and the Lord before we rely upon others. Following after love, selflessness. Following after patience. How many of us all could use a little extra patience? Right? You ain't raise your hand. You don't mean it. All of us. All of us could be more patient. Some of us a little more than others. And then meekness. I want to clarify meekness as well. Meekness is not something that you're born with. You study the Word out. Meekness is not something you're born with. Now, some people are born with a laid-back disposition. I thank the Lord I got my dad's disposition, even though it seems like here in the last few years I'm getting a little more assertive, maybe, or whatever you want to call it. Not as patient as I used to be. My dad was so patient. It's amazing. As you get older, that kind of just... Maybe that's what's happening to me. But meekness is different than patience. Meekness is something that God gives you. It's something the Holy Spirit gives to you. He's the only one who can help you keep yourself under control in those times, right? People who are born with a temper as such, or that predisposition to go that direction, How do you control that? You can count to 1,000, right? How good does that work? I mean, psychologists will tell you, you know, do this or that, you know, walk away, give it 10 minutes and come back. How good does that work? Sometimes it'll work fair. You want me to tell you how to control your temper? Follow after meekness. Holy Spirit will give it to you. Holy Spirit will give you that. The ability to distinguish between when you should be mad and when you shouldn't, that's the Holy Spirit. Follow after meekness. Follow after righteousness. Aren't these good? Well, we could spend a lot more time. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That word fight means to agonize, struggle, to battle or contend. In this particular instance, he's really referring to or illustrating for us a boxing match. In a boxing match, when a Greek got into the boxing ring, number one, the Greek fighters, when they fought with not really gloves, but they fought with basically what we would call a taped up hand with metal in it. And they would tape up both hands, and they would fight. But I'm telling you, when you got hit, it was something. And whoever lost got their eyes gouged out. So you didn't want to lose. All right? So he's referring here to, when they're illustrating for this, fighting that good fight of faith, to get in the boxing ring and get at it, because there are consequences for losing. You say, well, this is talking about Christians, preacher. Yeah, we know that we can't lose our salvation. Yeah, he says lay hold on eternal life. We know that our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he's given us is eternal. But he goes on to say there that we are going to stand before him. There is a consequence for losing the battle. Let me tell you, fight the good fight of faith. Keep your eyes on the prize. Give it your best. Always do your best for the Lord. Do all things to the glory of God. Because to win the battle or the prize. Let me again remind you this morning we're in a battle. Notice it says, fight the good fight of faith. Can I tell you this morning we're in a good fight? Can I tell you this morning that we're in a fight that's worth it? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can stand before the Lord. There are some things that I wish I could go back and change, but I hope for the most part when I stand before the Lord, He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That I can receive some crowns to lay back at His feet. That I have fought the good fight of faith. That I have stand boldly for the Word of God, fighting that good fight of faith, the Word of God. That revealed body of truth. Let me tell you, Sunday school teachers, Master Club workers, let's fight the good fight of faith, keeping our hands on that Word of God and holding it, teaching the Word of God and not from some book, but giving the Word of God to our kids and to our adults. Nehemiah, again, fought the good fight of faith as he told his workers to put a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Work with one hand and fight with the other. And I'm telling you, we're in that same position today. As the world continues to wind down, as the time for the Lord's return approaches, we must fight the good fight of faith. Paul puts it another way. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Let's be good soldiers because we're in a good fight. I almost had Tim sing it, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see His face. One look at His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's where lay hold means simply to keep a grip on eternal life. Now remember, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to lost people here. He's simply saying, appropriate practically the benefits, the privileges and responsibilities that are involved when you accept Christ as your Savior. In other words, we have it, use it. We have it, we have all the benefits of salvation, now use it. Use those benefits. It's basically the thing we've been preaching on Sunday nights. God has given us all the tools, all the things we need to live out the Christian life. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. How do we do those things? We do those things, we follow after, by fighting the good fight of faith with the tools or the benefits that we have been given by way of salvation. Those benefits we've been given, the Holy Spirit that abides in you and lives in you and empowers you to live out the Christian life. We live righteous lives by the Holy Spirit power He's given us. Lay hold on these things. Secondly, I believe it infers here or tells us that as we lay hold on these things, that let's lay hold on an eternal life and quit allowing peripheral things to get in the way. I think as a church, we ought to be reminded that the main thing of our church, the main goal of our church is to win people to Jesus Christ. Amen. We are soldiers of the Lord. We're fighting the good fight of faith. And we line up together with one purpose, and that is to give out the gospel. To tell others about Jesus Christ. Whether it's through the Sunday school or the Master's Club or Children's Choir or through our Fall Festival, whatever it is, that is our purpose. Our purpose primarily is not to feed people. Right? Amen? Now we'll do some of that. Our purpose is not primarily to provide a place of fellowship or provide a place of singing or provide a... No, it's provide a place where the gospel can be preached and people can get saved. Well, never let us forget our primary responsibility. Teachers and workers and Christians, listen, your primary responsibility is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Hold it tight. Tell others about the Lord. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Our primary purpose. Paul goes on to commend them and says, I charge thee. He says, lay hold and turn up, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's be reminded that we're always being watched. Let's hold that eternal life. Let's always have an excellent testimony. Let's always live in front of others as we should, because we have followed after these things. Again, Christians, we should flee, follow, and fight, laying hold on the benefits we have in salvation in order to have a good profession before men. And then it says that thou keep this commandment, verse 14, without spot, rebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep this. Keep this commandment. Keep these. Follow after these things. Why? Because Jesus Christ is soon to return. We'll all stand before Him and give an account. Well, who are we going to stand and give an account to? I love verse 15. Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and what? Only potentate. The only King. The King of kings and Lord of lords. One day we'll stand before the King of kings and Lord of lords. Are you ready? Christian, this morning, are you following after righteousness? Are you following after godliness? Are you following after faith and love and patience and meekness? Are we following after these things? Remember, that means pursue. It doesn't mean just to kind of hang out. But we're pursuing these things. How do we pursue these things? How do we accomplish these things? We accomplish those things by fighting the good fight of faith by way of the Holy Spirit. There is motivation there. And the motivation is, our Lord is going to return. And one day we will stand before the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We're in a good fight. Don't ever think, well, man, preacher, I'm tired and discouraged. And man, just ever think, listen, it's a good fight. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. All these life's trials will seem so small when we see His face. Let's remember that. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep on going. Keep on keeping on. Because it'll be worth it all. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment.